Okay, start the actual dinim of the Rosh Hashanah itself. So Rosh Hashanah night, with this year's Monday night, so women have to light candles. Now there's a whole question, Yom Tiv, not question, there's different customs. Now Shabbos you have to light 18 minutes before sundown because Shabbos you're not allowed to light candles. But Yom Tiv you are allowed to light candles from a pre-existing flame. So the question is, when do women light candles the night of Yom Tiv? Do they light later, you know, after Yom Tiv begins, from a pre-existing flame? Or do they light the regular time like they do every Shabbos? And there's different customs. The Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch says that our custom is that we do it like every Shabbos. Like every Shabbos, you light 18 minutes before sundown. So not to differentiate between Yom Tov and Shabbos, everything should be uniform, so to speak. Now, what's the bracha of the candlelight? This is a very unique Chabad custom that I don't know if anybody, I don't think anybody else has this custom, but it originates from the Alter Rebbe. And a regular Yom Tov, you say, Lahadik Ner Shel Yom Tov. Most women, and Rosh Hashanah also say, Lahadik Ner Shel Yom Tov and Shechiyonu. Our custom is that you say, Lahadik Ner Shel Yom Azikorin, which is the same text as we say in the Bracha of the Haftarah, V'Kadosh Yisrael V'Yom Hazikorin. So therefore, that's what the Alter Rebbe writes. I mean, that's what the Rebbe brings down, that the Alter Rebbe did, and that was the minig from all generations of Chabad. And obviously, the first night, you also make a Shechiyonu. Now, what happens if a man lives alone and he lights his own candles? Okay, because he has to light candles. So now, when you make Shechiyonu by candle lighting or by Kiddush, it's for the Yom Tov. So women make it when they light candles. Men make the Shechiyonu at Kiddush. That's because normally women light the candles and men make Kiddush. But what happens if a woman lives alone and she's doing both? She's lighting candles and she's making Kiddush. Or a man lives alone and he's lighting candles and makes Kiddush. So you don't say Shechiyonu twice because you don't say the same bracha twice. So now the question is, when should they say it? So the custom is that women say it at candle lighting and men make it a Kiddush. Because, like, it's still, candlelight is the women's thing, Kiddush is the man's thing. So therefore, our custom, I mean, not only that, that's the custom. That women, if they're doing both, Kiddush, I mean, candlelight and Kiddush, they'll make the Shechiyonu a candlelighting, men will make it a Kiddush. What? Huh? That's what I'm saying. He makes it a Kiddush, not a candlelight.
If a wife were, like, late on a candle, turning on, is it okay for the guy to turn it on and then she says, after it's like Kiddush?
Well, it says in Halacha, by the way, if a man sees that his wife is falling asleep and he shouldn't care about her screaming, this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You should just go light the candle because you can't light candles late on Friday night. Here, Yom Tov, it doesn't matter. If the wife's not ready, let her light it later.
But if it's like already Shabbat, I mean, it's already like in 18 minutes, the guy can still turn it on.
Yeah.
But the woman cannot.
The woman could also do it in 18 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the 48 hours of Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Number one, it says in Halacha that the last mincha of the year, you should daven with a lot of kavana because it's the last prayer of the year. Now, Rosh Hashanah, the 48 hours of Rosh Hashanah, the Friedrich Rebbe writes, the previous Rebbe writes in a letter, every spare moment should be utilized saying Tillim. People should be extremely careful not to talk, you know, just things, only things that are important. In fact, it's brought down that many of the Rabbeim didn't speak the whole first night of Rosh Hashanah. They just didn't talk. In fact, the Rebbe didn't talk the first night of Rosh Hashanah. Some Rebbeim did, some Rebbeim didn't. It was very interesting, different customs at the Rebbeim. They would just say till. They would daven, obviously.
Not all day,
only the first.
Huh?
Not all day, both days.
Both days? Not by the Rebbeim. Not that
the
I know.
First night is the most important?
Yeah, the first night is the most important thing. Because once you come in the morning and you blow Shofar and you have the Psukim of Musaf, that already is the main thing. It's done already. Okay, so You have to say a lot of sleep little, and say a lot of tilim. No, I'm saying even at night, it says Rosh Hashanah, people should minimize them sleeping and be busy a whole night saying tilim. Now, in the, what?
You start saying tilim, though, Shabbos Mubarakim before Rosh Hashanah, you also say tilim?
Like, yeah, the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, even though you don't bless Rosh Chodesh, but we still say the whole tilim, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay, we have to be careful that 10 days of service, you make sure you have to add a Melech HaKadosh, a Melech HaMishpat, Zochren, all the additions.
You cannot sleep the Rosh Hashanah day, right?
It says in Halachon, if you sleep Rosh Hashanah day, you'll have a sleepy mazel for the year. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Now, they tell, huh?
That's why.
So, it's interesting. The Rebbe Rashab had a very big chassid, Reb Greinim. The Mashpia, he was the chassid, you know, he's a very great man. And he was once, and the Rebbe Rashab used to say a maimer the second night of Rosh Hashanah also. So these guys, you have to understand, these guys were up all night Rosh Hashanah, and they were davening hours and hours and hours. So in the afternoon, before the maimer, he went to lay down a little bit. So somebody said to him, Reb Shmuel, then was Reb Shmuel Greinim, you're going to have a sleepy mazel. He said, I'd rather have a sleepy mazel than a sleepy maimer. But in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down from that Arizal that the day of Rosh Hashanah in the afternoon, you could sleep a little bit. But again, the minig is to try to avoid sleeping. Okay, the first...
Second day or the
first day? No, second day for sure. Second day is less important than the first day.
But
at night is very important to be honest. You'll have to say tilim and as much as possible.
So what, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock?
5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning.
5:15.
I told you that the previous Rebbe said, we said it the other day, the previous Rebbe said many years ago that you'd never find our Rebbe in bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. Either he didn't go to sleep yet, or he woke up already. Mm-hmm. But you'll never find him 4 o'clock in the morning in bed. Okay, now, Kiddush Rosh Hashanah, you have, you know, the Kiddush that it's in the Machzid, the special Kiddush. Okay, it's regular Kiddush, except it's a Yom Tov Kiddush with Shachiyanu. Now, after you make Kiddush, now, generally speaking, it's a custom not to eat sour, bitter foods on Rosh Hashanah. Some people, in fact, have a minig for the until Sukkot. But officially, the minig is that you don't eat bitter, sour foods because Rosh Hashanah is the head of the year. It's symbolic of the entire year. You don't want to have a bitter year. Everything on Rosh Hashanah, people eat sweet. You dip challah in honey. You eat sweet foods. You eat foods that mean a lot in any language. For instance, there's a custom you eat in America, in Yiddish you call it simis, cooked carrots that are very sweet. So it says in Sfarim, why do you eat carrots? Besides the fact it's sweet. But in Yiddish, the words for carrots are meden. Meden is the Yiddish word for carrots. And meden means to have a lot. Meden. So again, you eat things that you don't eat, many people won't eat mustard, they won't eat sharp, spicy foods, they'll eat sweet foods. You mean they won't be able to survive? All I'm saying, it's a custom. No, but the pomegranate, we'll get to that. One second. We'll get to that in a minute. So now, when you make a meitzi, okay, it's a regular lechem mishnah like on Friday, regular Friday night, except instead of dipping the challah into salt, you dip the challah into honey. Our custom is we dip it into honey 3 times. Just like salt, you dip it 3 times, we dip it into honey 3 times. I'll tell you in a second. Now, some people have a minig, in fact, the Rebbe did this also, that the first piece they dip into honey, But then they'll take another piece and dip it into salt also. But even if you don't use salt, to dip, you need salt on the table because the table is an altar, and the altar always has, all the korbanos had salt. The reason why you don't pour salt on the challah, the Kabbalistic custom, is you dip the challah into salt three times. Because the word for salt in Hebrew is melach, mem lamed ches, which equals 78. Now we know a table, the shulchan is a mizbeach, right? You consume the sacrifice, we consume our food. So yudke vavke equals 26. Zah shulchan asher lifnei Hashem. So yudke vavke equals 26. 3 times 26 is 78. So when you dip the challah three times, it says in Kabbalah, it's 3 times 26, which equals 78. So somebody asked the Rebbe, so dvash equals 306. So why do you still dip it three times? So he said, the Rebbe answered, that just like melach is 78, lechem is the same letters as melach. So therefore, even by honey, our minig is, we don't put the honey on the challah, our minig is to dip actually the honey into the, I mean, the challah into the honey three times. I told you, because three times yudke vavke equals 78, which is lechem and melach and all that. Now, at the beginning of the meal, again, there's a lot of Sfardim have a lot of interesting customs, what you eat, what you don't eat, the Rosh Hashanah. But in Ashkenazic circles, there's two things we eat the first night by the meal, besides the challah and honey. And that is an apple and honey, and a pomegranate. Okay, why do you eat an apple dipped into honey on Rosh Hashanah? Because the Jews are likened to an apple orchard. In fact, in the Bnei HaCholis, you'll see over there before that, the Chakal Tapuchin Kadishin, of the holy apple orchard. So because the Jews are likened to an apple on Rosh Hashanah, we want to take the apple and dip it into honey. Now, even though you washed for bread, even though you already washed for bread, but again, the apple is not what's normally eaten to fill you up. It's not meat, fish, or things like that. So you have to make a very pure eight on the apple. And then in addition to that, there is a hiratzen that we say, hiratzen mefenecha shetechadish aleinu shana tova mesukah. We say that hiratzen. And according to our custom, even though you already made the bracha, but we say that hiratzen before you bite into the apple. So in other words, what you do is, you dip first the apple in honey three times before you make the bracha, because we don't want to make a break between the bracha and the actual eating. So you dip the apple in honey three times, then you make the bracha, then you say Yirasim Afanacha, whatever, Shetchadu Shalenu Shana Teva Mesukah, and then you eat the apple. No, the Rebbe has a whole letter. There's a whole letter from the Rebbe explaining why halachically it's not a hefzi. The reason why we eat a pomegranate, because the pomegranate has a lot of seeds, and because it has a lot of seeds, it quite, in fact, some people want to say 613. And you know, a lot of people counted it wasn't, and some people counted it was, but it doesn't. Basically, pomegranates have a lot of seeds, which means we should multiply in Gashmis and Ruchnias with a lot of seeds. But there's a unique thing that Rebbe writes that normally we learned already in Birch Sanenin. If you have a fruit from Eretz Yisrael, you know, that Eretz Yisrael is praised with, the seven species. And you have an apple, you're supposed to make a, and you can eat both, you make a eight on the pomegranate. But here the Rebbe writes, even though you're going to be eating the pomegranate, you still make a eight on the apple. Because that night, the apple is more important than the pomegranate. And therefore, even though you have a pomegranate on the table, and you have an apple on the table, you should make a eight on the pomegranate too. No, we make a eight on the apple.
What is the significance of apple?
I told you, the Jews are likened to an apple orchard.
Jews are,
we're likened to a lot of things. We're likened to stars, we're likened to sand, we're likened to dirt, believe it or not. We're likened to a lot of things. But in Kabbalah, it's a big Indian of what's called Chakal Tapuch and Kaddish and Apple Sweet. The Jews, there's a lot of, it's Kabbalistic, that there's a connection between the Jewish people and an apple.